Good to be back in Easton. It's definitely good to be back in Pennsylvania. I've been in Pennsylvania for about a month up with my mom and trying to book some meetings and write some letters. And we've been praying, and God, I had one spot open in October, and that was the first week. I called a gentleman in Ohio, and he didn't answer. He called me back on Saturday. He said, "Brother, let me tell you something. I haven't had an evangelist in my church in 10 years. Last one that was here split my church." He said, "But I need to have a meeting. Are you interested in doing a 4-day meeting?" I said, "Absolutely. When do I come?" So praise the Lord. And the rest of the Sundays in that month are all booked. And three are in Ohio. One is in Walkertown, Indiana. And so God has been good to us. And He works behind the scenes. There's some things that He's working out for us. And can't really say too much right now. It's not an RV, which we really need. Still pray for that, but God is working some very cool things behind the scenes, and I like when He does that. He answers prayer before you even get someplace, and I enjoy when God does that. Take your Bibles and open to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. I have some prayer cards with me tonight if you didn't get one last time I'm here. My beautiful daughter Beth has a handful. You can bug her and get one. Has our names on it, has what we do on the back, my Twitter handle and all that good stuff, my email, and you can contact me any way you want to. If you want to follow me on Twitter, just do it, and it'll be awesome. You know, since we've been traveling in June, we put about 7,000 miles on our car. We've been traveling. We've been in Mississippi, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, back to North Carolina, back to Mississippi, and I've been in a few churches now, and I'm scared. I'm scared. Folks, we are living literally in the last days. I don't know how much more God can take, preacher. I really don't. I don't know how much more He can take. And when I travel to churches and I see the churches, I'm scared. So, Brother Lancaster, why are you scared? Because the people, God's people, I'm not going to say people in the churches, but God's people are so far from where they need to be. They've left their first love. God is not even important as taking the kids to baseball practice anymore. I see it firsthand. Every church that I've been in, I've seen preachers that are discouraged. And every one of them made this statement to me. He says, "Brother, I can't get my people to do anything." Every one of them, preacher. That's a sad state for America. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you meet with us. Father, I pray that you help me tonight. Give me the words to say. I pray, Father, I don't say anything you don't want me to. But Father, I pray I say everything you do want me to. Father, I pray for the people of this church. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would meet with us. And Father, I pray for salvations. If there's one here that's not saved, that today may be the day that they realize they're on their way to a sinner's hell. And Father, they need salvation. Well, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at our verse, Jeremiah wrote, he said, "Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way and walk therein?" Does God ever say anything He doesn't mean? Does He ever say anything you don't mean? No, He don't. This book is full of a lot of commandments. Not just the 10. I heard some preachers say there's about 363, according to Bob Hamlin, 363 divine imperatives in this book. God said, ask for the old paths. He also said, walk therein. But before that, He said, where is the good way? See, folks, the problem with our churches today is that we've left the good way. We've left God's way. And part of the problem is we got people sitting in our churches that don't believe in standards and convictions anymore. They say they're outdated. Everything's okay. It's okay to smoke. It's okay to drink. It's okay to do drugs. It's okay to use medical marijuana, coke, and the long list of drugs. It's okay for the sodomites to get married as long as they don't bother me and they're happy. We've pulled away. Now, if you don't believe in what she did, that's fine. I got mixed feelings about what she did, but that lady took a stand in Kentucky. And there's different things people are saying about it, but you know what? At least she took a stand. There's people all across America churches tonight that won't stand for nothing. It won't stand for a simple thing. See, we have too many Joel Osteen Christians. And is everything in moderation attitude. Listen, God expects us to be sanctified. He expects us to be set apart. It's not a moderation thing. It's what God says. Folks, we need to get back to the old past. Look around at the sin that people live in. I mean, 20 years ago, you wouldn't see half the stuff that's going on today. You know, the Supreme Court can't make laws. But they made one. What is up with that? Where's our freedom of religion? Where's our religious liberty in this country? It's gone. And it's gone because God's people have let it go. We've let it go. Listen, I'm not exactly what year it happened. I might have been 2 or 3 years old. I don't know. But God's people let prayer come out of the school, public school. We've let abortion take place. We've let the homosexuals get married. You say, well, how did we do it? Because we didn't do nothing about it. We don't stand for righteousness no more. The Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Can you show me a few? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We wonder why our prayers don't get answered. Listen, folks, we need to get back to the old past because that's what God wants. He said, walk therein. It's the good way. It's the good way. How do we get back to the old past, Brother Lancaster? Number one, we need to come clean. God's people are dirty. God's people are dirty. So what do you mean, Brother Lancaster? We got too much sin in our life. Too much sin. We play with sin. We do it in moderation. We try to hide our sin. Hey, listen. God knows you're going to do it before you do it. You're not hiding it. And any little bit is still sin. And I know we'll all take care of the big sins. We'll take care of the smoking and the drinking and all that stuff, and God will convict you of that, and that's a good thing. But I want to talk about the sin that's down in the recesses of your heart that nobody knows about. I want to talk about the sin that's way down deep, that when it's mentioned when somebody's preaching, you get that little, I don't like that. How does he know? How does preacher know about that? Because God told him. Guys, what's down in the deepest recess of your heart? You don't even like to talk about it. But it's your besetting sin, as Paul mentioned in Hebrews. It's the one that you fall for all the time. The devil knows all the tricks and he gets you to do it. And it's ugly. It's down in the inner recesses of your heart, and you need to take care of it. And it's probably a wicked sin, guys. It's probably a wicked sin. Probably pornography. And if somebody just got nervous, it's you. I learned this from my preacher. Listen, what are you hiding down there, guys? It's time to get clean. God already knows it's there. Let's just get honest. Let's just get to an altar and confess and say, God, I got this big problem. Nobody even knows about it. My wife don't even know about it. Let's clean it up. Let me have the victory over it. Let me, so I can go forward. We got stuff in our heart we don't even want to mention. And we're scared to go tell the preacher we got a problem with it. Hey, listen, if you have to do it in the dark and in private, it's probably not right. If you got to hide to do your sin, it's probably not right. If your kids will get in trouble for what you're doing, it's probably not right. If your kids can't do it, it's probably not right. But we keep it in there. Or like as if I come and confess that, I'll be in big trouble. Hey, I'd rather, listen, there's forgiveness when you come confess. But when you get caught, it's a whole different story. Confessing your sin and getting caught in your sin is two different things. Because you're sorry you got caught. You're sorry that somebody found out you're no good, rotten sin. Instead of coming confessing, come clean. Ladies, I'm talking to you too. Listen, a lot of people say, well, the guys just think dirty. Let me tell you what. I worked in public. I worked in our world for a long time. Let me tell you, the women are just as bad as the guys, if not worse. What's down in your heart? What do you need to come clean about? You know, if you've got a problem with bad websites, get rid of your computer. Just throw it out in the yard. You don't need it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to walk back here. Don't get nervous. I won't spit on you. This is one of the most dangerous things there are in the world. Ladies, husbands, if you see your spouse sticking this in their pocket a lot and they don't leave it laying around, I'd check it. She's got my password, I got hers. I leave my phone laying around all the time because it's free. Whoever wants to check my phone, right there it is. I got nothing to hide. You got a computer in your house, put it in a room where everybody can see it. Don't put it in a room. Mm-mm. So, well, preacher, nothing will ever happen. I just got it back in my bedroom because I don't want it to get knocked over. Yeah. And Satan can't go back there and tempt you to click on. All it takes is two clicks and you're on a pornography site, sir. Two clicks. What's in your heart? And I'm not even talking about jealousy. Nobody talks about jealousy. We can't see it. How about lying? How about hard feelings that you've harbored for another brother or sister in this church for years? And every time you see him, you cringe. That's deep down in your heart. Get it out. Take it out. Root it out. Do what you got to get clean, guys. God needs people in this army right now because we're losing the battle. He needs every one of his soldiers ready at attention. My son's in the Marines. He's in Spain right now. He was told he's on alert. That means there's something going on in the world somewhere that he's going to go. God needs his people on alert. Lord, whatever you want. I'm right here. This is me. Whatever you want. I thought for about 2 days when God called me into evangelism. I just wanted to make sure God knew what he was doing. Me? You want me? Listen, God, and I gladly surrendered. I gladly surrendered. God wants his soldiers ready and at attention. So when he says, hey, I need a missionary to Guyana, Africa, he can pull your name and said and call you, and you're ready to go. I can't tell you how many people that I've met that aren't in the ministry that God has called into the ministry, preacher. They're doing other things. Their wife didn't want to go. God needs His people. We're losing the battle, folks. We're losing the battle. Secondly, we need to get back to living our standards and convictions. I asked you a little while ago, did God ever say anything He didn't mean? Y'all said no. That was a trick question. What kind of standards you got in your life? What kind of convictions do you got in your life? You can get mad at my wife for this because she said it. She asked me one day, she said, Fred, we've seen a bunch of people that we know, a bunch of women that we know, back up on their dress standards. After years and years and years, preacher, of dressing like God tells them to, all of a sudden, they're not anymore. We've just seen it. And she asked me why. I said, I don't know why people change their convictions and their standards. She asked me this question, ladies, listen. She said, if God convicted me, Fred, of not wearing pants, why isn't He convicting all the other ladies? Hello, we all right? We okay? We all right? Don't put your head down. It's not time to pray. If I've been convicted by God to dress properly, why hasn't He convicted the other ladies? And she's not talking about this church. She's just talking about the girls and women that we've seen change their standard. Why? Listen, the old-time religion got us this far. It's good enough to get us home. It's good enough to get us home. It's good enough to get us the rest of the way. Why are we giving up? Why do we say, God, this isn't good enough for me no more? You know why? Because there's so many liberal churches out there that people want to be a part of because they can come to church any way they want to and they can leave the same way. And God never, the preacher never demands nothing of them, and God never demands nothing of them because they wouldn't know God if He walked in the front door. But they went to church. What about your standards? What about your dress standards? I believe God said that a woman shouldn't wear nothing that a man wears, and a man shouldn't wear nothing what a woman wears, and He says that's an abomination. God doesn't say anything He doesn't mean. Smile. If He said it, He means it, right? What about your music standards? How many of you like the little CCM label? Hey, I'm not just talking about CCM. So there's some Southern gospel that ain't good either. There's too much good Christian music out there for you guys to listen to that stuff. Oh, but Brother Lane, it just sounds so good. It takes me back to the music I used to listen to. That's exactly the problem. Throw that CCM garbage in. Throw it in the garbage. And put a match to it. And if you need good music, get a hold of me, I'll get you some. What's your music standards? Hey, you guys that got kids or grandkids, they walk around with those things in their ears all the time, pull one of them out once in a while and see what they're listening to. I've done it. Nick used to walk around with those things in his ears. I used to go pull one out. What are you doing now? I want to hear what you're listening to. And there's been a time or two I said, you need to erase that song. You got one of those gizmos you can add, subtract, all. You know how to do it. Get rid of it. I don't like it. What's your music standard? Your music standard should be the same at home as it is in the church. The problem is your kids are too confused. Because you come here and sing hymns and good godly music and you go home and plug in AC/DC or Willie Nelson or Tammy, why not? They don't know what to believe. Set a standard and keep it. Say it. I am not going to listen to anything but good Christian music, and when bad Christian music comes, shut it off. You've already made the decision. Shut it off. It was a blessing in Bible college. We had our own radio station. I could leave it there. I never had to touch the channel. Never. I never had to get in my car if my kids were listening to it. Or I was listening to it. I never had to worry about reaching over there and changing the dial. was a blessing. Get some music convictions. I found this about teenagers. Teenagers are good to preach to, except you start preaching about music. They buck up, they bow up. They don't like messing with their music, preacher. They just don't. That's their God. Hey, get some convictions. Get some standards. Say, I'm not doing this. I'm not listening to that music. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to listen to good stuff. Hey, instead of listening to music, I'm not bad about music, but why don't you listen to a couple extra sermons a week? Buy a couple extra sermons and put them in your car and listen to them on the way to work. Well, I got a problem with music, Bro Lancaster. Exactly. Put a sermon in and listen to that. Back when I got saved, I had a bunch of cassette tapes. If anybody remembers what they were. As soon as I got saved, I had somebody put Christian music on all, I don't know, there's probably 20 of them. I said, can you put good music on these? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't have to worry about it. Listen, folks, if you got young kids, you're going to need this. You're going to need some dating standards. You know how many guys marry the wrong girl or vice versa? Any guy who wants to date any of my daughters, they have to ask me first. You say, oh, that's old-fashioned. That's right, it is. And I can weed out the jerks. There was a guy in Bible college, he used to follow me around. He would wait for me to be alone, and I knew he was waiting for me to be alone because he would have asked me if he could take Danielle out when she was in Bible college. And there was no way I was letting that sucker take my daughter out. He was sorry. So I knew I'd stay busy. I would talk to people just to talk to him so I wouldn't sit down so he wouldn't come sit down next to me. So I wouldn't have to tell him, Dave, no. One day he got me. I sat down. He says, Bro Lancaster, can I talk to you? I said, I already knew it was coming. I said, yeah, go ahead, Dave. He goes, I was just wondering if I could take Danielle out. I said, Dave, what do you plan on doing with your life? You going to be a preacher? What are you going to do? I really don't know. I said, no. No. When Danielle got into RW's life, I asked him for two phone numbers, his preacher and his dad. And I called both of them. Just don't let your kids date whoever they want to date. And don't let them date the date. That's not God's plan. I mean, I was in Bible college. There was one girl, she dated about 30 guys. I'm like, what is up with that? And she broke up with all of them and started dating them again. What is that? Have some dating standards. Don't let any guy come in and just sweep your daughter away. You tell them you got a gun and 40 acres and a shovel. And tell him he don't pull into the driveway and beep the horn. He ain't getting nothing beeping the horn. Mm-mm. And if he's wearing saggy breeches, you just tell him he got a staple gun. We'll fix that. We'll fix that for you. Have some standards and conviction, guys. I can't tell you how many girls were in Bible college with me that I've already married and divorced. Oh, he's just so handsome. He's going to be a preacher. Yeah? Well, here's my advice. Watch him for a while. See if he does what he says he does. See if he acts like he says he acts. Is God the most important thing in his life? And if he's not, I don't know. You got to protect your girls. Guys, you got to protect your boys, too. Teen church. I heard a bus kid say this, preacher. She said, I want me one of those Christian boys. And the public school girls don't care how they get them. Statement out of her mouth, I want one of those Christian school boys. Why does she want that? She wanted a respectful person who she thinks won't cheat on her, won't run around. But they're ruthless in how they get them. God, be careful. Protect your kids. Let me say this. I might get myself in trouble, but oh well. It's not meant to be that way. Unless your kids absolutely, positively need a cell phone, no 12-year-old kid needs a cell phone. You hear what I said? I see 12-year-old, younger than that, 8-year-old kids walking around with iPhones. What in the world does an 8-year-old kid need with an iPhone? Will they just play games on it? I'll bet you not. I'll bet you not. Hey, put some standards in our lives, some convictions. How about our entertainment standards? What do we watch for entertainment? Can't watch much on TV. I burn the control out just going up and down looking for a good show to watch. And if you define a good show anymore, it ain't really good. It's just the best that's out there. Unless you're watching football, and that's the perfect will of God. Or basketball, or baseball, hockey, or you're hunting. Listen, what kind of entertainment standards do you have? You know, if you just sit tight for a second, if you go to the Red Box, I've learned that if there's a movie on there that you don't, something goes bad, you can take it back and you only lost a dollar. You don't have to watch it, preacher. You don't have to watch it. You only spend a dollar. You go to the stinking movie theater and pay $9 to get in, you ain't leaving. Something bad will come on the screen and you look at your wife and say, I paid $9 to get in here, I ain't leaving. What kind of entertainment standards you got? Everything go? It's quiet, but I like it. I hit this a little bit, but how about technology standards? Dangerous, folks, dangerous. Get your kids' passwords. Get your kids' passwords to their phone, to their computer. Hey, listen, kids will say things in a text or an email that they will not say out loud. There's a thing called sexting, where they send pictures of themselves naked to other people. It goes on. But your kid's not going to walk around and do it in public. But he'll do it on a computer in a closed room. I'd go home and check all my kids' stuff. My grandkids, find out what they're listening to. Find out what they're doing. Find out what they're watching. Have some convictions and standards. I can see I made a lot of friends. But that don't bother me. I'll be in Ohio soon. You won't see me. Thirdly, how can we get back to the old past, Bro Lancaster? We need to get back in church. Now, I know I'm talking to the crowd that's here. But listen, why is it that when you see your calendar, you let your calendar dictate your church days? I just, for the last 20 years, I just knew Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night were booked. I didn't plan nothing those nights. They just went on my calendar, so to speak, in my mind. If somebody said, hey, Fred, what are you doing Wednesday night? I'm going to church. Hey, Fred, what are you doing Thursday night? Ah, we're going soul winning. What are you doing Sunday? Want to come watch the game? No, I'll be in church. There was no question what we were doing Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night. No question. There was nothing scribbled in. Pee-wee football. No. No, no, no. 1,000 times, no. Your kid needs church more than he needs football. Go play football in the yard with him. Listen, your schedule should say church, 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 and whatever's open the next, have at it. Whatever you can schedule in. We got too many Christians that don't want to go to church. They want to go to church. They're faithful on Sunday mornings. Praise the Lord. You couldn't find them with a CSI team on Sunday night. Or Wednesday night. But as soon as trouble comes in their lives, they want to come talk to the preacher. And what do you think the first thing the preacher's going to tell you? When was the last time you're in church? If people would come to church Every time the doors are open or spoke the way they're supposed to, he'd have to do less counseling because he'd be doing his counseling from the preaching. Shake your head. Because this book will answer your questions. And he might not even be preaching about it, but he'll say something and it'll click in your mind. There's the answer I need. But we don't come to church. Church is not important. Since when has church not been important? You know, I used to be called halftime. And part of that reason was, is because the 4 o'clock football game was on, and church started at 6:30, and everybody knows the 4 o'clock game don't get over to 7 o'clock. I can't tell you how many times I sat in a parking lot and listened to a football game while you're all in here singing. True story. I'm telling it myself. I confess. But you know what? When I went to Bible college, I couldn't do that. Because they took roll, preacher. Somebody from the college was at the church and they made sure everybody was there on time. If you weren't, you got demerits. And not only that, church started in Michigan at 6 o'clock. That's the third quarter. My team's on. I don't get to see them. They're on TV. 5:45. Let's go. Try to find it on the radio. Go through all the channels like 15 times because you might have missed it. And you try to find it so you can listen to it for a 10-minute ride. Listen, folks, we need to get back in church. You see somebody that's not here today? Call them. Get them to come to church. It's an old cliche, but it's true. The sermon that's preached Sunday night, somebody might need it. Somebody might need it. We need to get back to church. Number 4, we need to get back to serving Jesus. This is sad. I can't tell you how many people came up to me since I've been traveling saying, I used to. Preacher, I used to run a bus route. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to go soul winning. I used to come to church work days. I hope you don't mind I carry this around, but I'm home, so I feel comfortable. I used to, Christians. Well, there ain't nothing at the church for me to do. Oh, I'll bet there is. I'll bet there is. I bet a preacher can give you 5 or 6 things right off the top of his head. And I'll tell you this. He's probably got things in his heart that he wants to do to build this church, but he won't even tell you because he's got nobody to fill the positions. I'll tell you an honest story. When I was here last time, he announced he needed a bus captain for Phillipsburg, and I almost raised my hand. But I'm leaving. If I was staying, I'd do it. I had a problem in saying no. You can go knock on the door and visit a bus kid. You can go knock on the door of a Sunday school teachers. You got the best opportunity to witness to parents in the whole wide world because that kid comes to your Sunday school class. Is little Susie there? Oh yeah, who are you? I'm her Sunday school teacher. Can I visit with her for a while? Oh yeah. You're in the house like that. And I'm going to ask how many of you do that. Your Sunday school kids don't see you from but Sunday and Sunday. And that's sad. That's sad. How do you reach the parents if you don't even go? That's what the bus ministry is all about, folks. You get the kids in here, you get to visit them, you get the parents. Now you got a whole family in church. Now you got 4 or 5 people in church. We need to get back to serving Jesus. This is what's missing in all the churches I've been to. This is exactly what is missing. Because it costs you something. It costs you time. And we don't want to give up our time. But listen, it costs Jesus something to go to that cross. Jesus didn't tell God the Father, you know what? I really don't got time to do that today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. I mean, seriously. I don't know how many were here because I was traveling, but when you put up the tent on Saturday, how many guys showed up? I have no idea, so I can't, you know, I'm just asking. How many of you stayed to the end? Listen, I stay to the end every church I go. I'm always talking to the preacher after church, and I'm there, and the lights are off, and I'm the last one out all the time. Started here. I learned it here. Until my wife started telling me she's going to Walmart and leaving the four kids with me while I talk, so I decided to leave. Folks, there's a jobs after jobs after jobs of doing the church, and they can't get done because there's nobody to do it. How about faithfulness? I told the church in my home church in Mississippi, I said, look, if you don't show up to teach your Sunday school class, I'll be in it. And if you're late, you'll be embarrassed to see me in it teaching it. How about faithfulness? Or how about, do you call a preacher, let him know you're not going to be there? Or you just don't come to church and don't tell nobody? I'm telling you, real church problems, folks. We need to fix these things. Hey, God's work needs to be 100% the best we can do it. Faithfulness, loyalty. Loyalty is lost in churches. This is your shepherd. This is your man of God. You ought to be loyal. Unless he messes up, you ought to be loyal. And if he messes up, God will take care of it. It's not your job to correct the preacher. And he didn't pay me to say it. I said it. If you don't like it, loyalty's missing. I'll just go down to the other church down the street. I don't care. And leave everything that man invested in you in your pew empty and go to some other church where somebody don't care about you. And I'll tell you a true story. Is anybody in here doesn't know who Joel Osteen is? I don't know why I stop, but maybe it's his hair, I don't know. I'm flipping through the channels, and I see Joel behind his platform. And he says, tomorrow, there's going to be a funeral for Mr. So-and-so. He's been at our church for 35 years. He's been here with my dad, now he's here with me. He's an usher. And these words came out of his mouth. He said, I never met the man. I never met the man, an usher in your church, and you've never met him? What is wrong with that picture? But you'll go to a church like that because you got mad at somebody preaching. Or something the pastor said, or something the pastor wants to do. Wants to change the carpet, the pews, the curtains, the lights, whatever. And you go down to a church like Joel Osteen's where you'll never meet your preacher. You'll never get into council with him because there's 80,000 people there every day. We need to get back to serving God, folks. You know, this ain't the military where they can just say, we need a volunteer, and everybody steps backwards, and the guy standing forward gets the job. Hey, Charlie, when you're in the Marines, did they ever ask you if you wanted to do something? I know the answer. I know because I got all the stories from my son in boot camp. You're not asked if you agree. You're not asked if you think you might want to do something. Especially at 3 o'clock in the morning. He learned the hard way. He got up, standing at attention at the end of his bunk, and the drill instructor came and put the brim of his hat on his forehead, and he started laughing. No. You think that's funny, Lancaster? No, sir! You know, automatically backpedal. No, sir, I don't think that's funny. Well, he was laughing so hard that the kid next to him started laughing. You think that's funny? And you know how they are. They'll run around, cut your head off, and come back, spit on you. He said, both of you come here. And all I had is her white t-shirts and her white underwear on. He said, I want you to stand toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose until you stop laughing. He said, Dad, all we did was laugh. We couldn't stop it. But they didn't ask him if he wanted to do that, Charlie. They made him do it. God don't do that to us. He don't make us do anything. But He wants us to surrender. He wants us to surrender. And lastly, and I don't have to worry about it in this church, but we need to keep preaching it straight. We need to keep preaching it straight. Hey, listen, don't water down your witness because you're afraid to tell somebody you're going to die and go to hell. Don't say, you know, if you don't get saved, you go to this bad place. No, you don't get saved, you die and go to hell. We water it down too much. We don't want people to get offended. Churches all across the country. I had a preacher. I preached in August at his church. And I preached something similar to this. He pulled me aside after the morning service. He said, I am so glad that you hit on convictions and standards because nobody preaches it anymore. Anybody I have in this church, they stay so far away from it, they don't even touch it. You know why they don't touch it? Because there's preachers that don't want it preached. Because their people might walk out the door. Their people might get offended. Hey, listen, if you're giving them truth, if you're giving them truth out of this book and they walk, there ain't nothing you can do about it. But if you're compromising in this book and they walk, you got a problem. Because they walked out without the truth. We need to preach it straight, hard, with love. You can preach hard with love. And I'm not talking about pussyfooting around the tools. I'm talking, you got to love people. And you can preach it straight. And if they know you love them, they'll let you preach to them as hard as you want to. I guess the bottom line is what I'm asking you is, anybody know what this is? Huh? This is a pin to an 81 millimeter mortar. My son gave it to me before he left for Spain. It's one that he shot off. See, after they get their coordinates and their longitude and their latitude and that thing, that mortar system is sighted in, what you have to do in 50 seconds. Nick's team does it in 30 seconds. That's how he got the job. Once they get the direction and the crosshairs and the windage and everything where they're going, they pick up one of these mortars. And they pull this pin. And they slide it down the tube. And once it hits that tube, it's ready for destruction, preacher. It's going to do some damage. When they get to that point, they're all in. There's no coming back. Once they drop that in that tube, it's all in. It's all in. It's going to do something to somebody. It's going to blow up somewhere. Hopefully not in the tube. Now, they have a protocol for that. And when Nick told me what it was, I wasn't very happy. They slide it back out. They put the pin back in. I'm like, not on your life. I'll find me another job in the military. I'll wax Jeeps or something. But when they fire for effect, which means there's people out there that they got to take out, they pick it up, pull the pin, and once it's dropped down that chute, it's all over. It's going to destroy something. They're all in. I'm asking you tonight, are you all in? Are you all in for Jesus? Are you all in? What's holding you back from being all in? What's holding you back from coming to an altar and saying, God, I surrender, I'll do anything you want me to. And you might have done that already, but God's called you to do some things and you backed out. Are you all in? Are you ready to do some destruction to the devil? Listen, he's running proud right now. He's got America right where he wants it. It's going down. It's going down. Are you all in? Or I guess, will you be all in if you're not? Mr. Lancaster, I don't know. Listen, you surrender to God and let God take care of the rest. So I got some habits. God can take care of those habits. If God called you, He has a purpose There's 40 other guys I could think of that he could have called to go into evangelism, but he called me. And I can't tell you, I'm not scared. I'm not looking for sympathy, but it's been a month since I had a paycheck. That's just part of the ministry, preacher. You got to live by faith. And we do. And God has met all of our needs. He's met all of our needs. I sold everything I had. We really need to get the attitude of William Borden. No reserves. No retreats. What was the third one? I got it written down. I just don't want to look. No regrets. No retreats, no reserve, and no regrets. If you don't know who William Borden is, you've probably seen the milk trucks going around with William Borden milk on the side. He was heir to that. And he decided to become a missionary. And his dad said, "You be a missionary, you get no money from me." And he left. He had no reserves. He had no retreats. And he had no regrets. And that was found written in his Bible when he died. That's how we need to live the Christian life. Don't ever regret the things you do for God. And don't ever retreat. Listen, there was a day in your life you would have charged hell with a squirt gun. And now you won't give somebody a track. Are you all in? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.